Hey, this morning I wanted to share with you the idea of soul searching. So this is a term that is used commonly as we are endeavoring to make perhaps a decision, an important decision. We will do some soul searching to help inform that decision a little bit. So I wanted to share some thoughts after some soul searching. One of the things that I can remember when I first walked into my job here at Dow Corning 34, 33 years ago, and I walked into my boss's office and he had this large sign that said, "Think." And I mean, it was big. I thought, okay, that might be overstating the obvious a little bit, but it made sense to me. As I have gone on in life and in my professional work, I see that the sign needs to be a little bigger. You know, we have an app for everything. We have computer programs that do all our engineering. So the skills and things you've learned, you don't really perfect in my profession anyway, because there's an app, there's a computer program that does the thinking. And thinking is important in soul searching. You know, our society is very superficial. And we don't get very deep. Things get solved in a 30-minute sitcom. All your answers are given to you in a commercial. And so we don't get very deep. Our society has even gone to the point of giving us labels so that we don't need to get to know each other. We just have to understand what label you are. And that defines who you are. Soul searching goes much beyond that. And soul searching is not something you do alone. And that's what we want to talk about today. I am in control of the clicker. So some definitions here. You know, our soul is an eternal gift from God. In the Bible, soul and spirit are used together quite often. In fact, spirit is used more than soul. But soul, by the definition and my understanding, is something that God gives us. When we are conceived, God creates a soul. What spirit goes in that soul is our choice by free will. There are a lot of spirits in this world. There's the spirit of God, there's human spirits, there's evil spirits. What goes into our soul is our choice. So it is by free will that we choose to fill our soul and to walk with God, to search for our purpose. So in that walk, and also in the wrestling, because you're going to wrestle with your faith, that is part of searching. It's not labels that define us. It is in the choosing God, His Spirit, and in the wrestling. That is how we understand what our purpose should be. There's not an app for that. It's not cookie cutter. It's not the same for you as it is for me. But we will talk about in a minute how there is some commonality. So we have many questions, so many questions. And, you know, we are creatures that need to have purpose. And we need to feel like we matter. God welcomes these questions. He welcomes the wrestling. Some questions that I just thought of and put up here. Why don't we have more detail about the creation account? Why was Eve formed from flesh and Adam from dirt? How could Adam and Eve sin without the knowledge of good and evil? How does God know evil when God cannot sin? So the questions go on. Many questions. You have some in your soul today that you're searching, trying to figure out. And that is really the purpose of our soul. That's where we need to go. Yes, we have the commentaries, we have friends, we have the experts, we have the doctors, the professionals, and we should consult all that. We should use all the information that we can get. But the answers are in our soul. So there are a number of biblical characters that have struggled, that have walked and wrestled with God. Eve wanted wisdom, but found it in the wrong way. That's a noble thing, to get wisdom. I want wisdom. Sarah laughed at the promise of a child in old age. Abraham challenged God's judgment on Sodom. Jacob wrestled with God. Moses objected 5 times to God's call to leadership. Jacob, or Job, claimed that God denied him justice. Jonah was angry with God's compassion for sinners. Angry. Martha was distracted with lesser things. Peter denied Jesus. Thomas doubted. Mary and Martha, when Lazarus died, said, "Lord, if you would have been here, this would not have happened." You can feel the pain. Why weren't you here? Sarah was afraid after she had laughed and was being confronted about it. She denied it. "I did not laugh." "No," said God, "but you did laugh." So we search. So if you're not familiar with the movie City Slickers, these are 3 friends that went to this dude ranch driving cattle. And one of the main characters is a rough cowboy named Curly. Didn't talk too much. It's kind of gruff and rough. And of course, these guys came to this dude ranch because they had some midlife crisis. And they were looking for answers. They were searching. So in this particular scene, they're riding together, just the two of them. And Curly had been talking about some of his life experiences. And he looks to Mitch, I think that's his name, and he says, "Do you know what the secret of life is?" And he says, "No." And Curly holds up his finger. And then Mitch says, "Your finger?" And he goes on to explain this a little bit in some colorful detail, but he says, there's one thing that matters. And of course, Mitch says, "What is it?" And Curly says, "You got to figure that out. There's one thing that matters. The rest of it will take care of itself. If you take care of that one thing." So, you know, when we are looking for our purpose in searching, we'll find ourselves in circumstances that we don't want to be in, that are uncomfortable. And sometimes these circumstances break us. Sometimes they hurt us. Sometimes there's joy in it. It's not all bad. But as we go through life, we will find ourselves in circumstances that help give us clarity if we have Jesus in our soul, if we have God's Spirit in our soul. So there's, how do we search for God? Of course, as Christians, we would say Bible, and very true. We would say our relationships with others that have the same motivation that we do. We would say praying. We'd say meditation. But God is also evident in our world. You can see this, and people are starting to see it more and more as we're able to probe our bodies in particular and the world that we live in. So we have the ability to know God because He created us in His image and likeness. There is evidence of God in creation, and I'm going to talk about some of that evidence here in a little bit. And even though there's evidence for God in creation outside of the Bible, that's what I'm talking about, we can never fully know God. We can only know what is revealed. And so faith is huge. We need faith. God gives us enough evidence so that we can have faith. So from the beginning, God's design. There's one joke that I can remember, and so I'm going to give it to you today. There was a physician, scientist, engineer, and politician arguing about whose profession was the oldest. Well, the physician said, removing a rib from Adam was a surgical procedure. Medicine, that's the oldest profession. The scientist said, well, observing and inspecting the animals in order to name them was a scientific method. Science is the oldest profession. The engineer piped up and said, well, the earth was formless, dark, and empty. Out of this chaos and disorder, God made harmony. Politician then said, well, all that's true, but who do you think created the chaos? It is the political season. You know, before God intervened, there was darkness, emptiness, and formlessness. When God intervened, things changed. There became order. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. I think the important points here, and especially in this creation story, is that we don't have all the details. In the famous line, we can't handle the truth. We don't have the intellectual capacity to understand in detail how God created. We have so much scientific instrument and ability today to probe, and we still can't figure it out. That's by design. God is the creator, we are the created. Does that mean we shouldn't probe? No, we should search. Search. That's what God created us to do, is to search. So we should do that. The main point here is that God's Spirit has to be invited into our soul. That's our will. Or God's Spirit is going to remain hovering. He's not going to barge in. We have free will. We have to choose to bring God's Spirit into our soul. The other is that our soul permeates everything. everything. It's not a separate, it's separate from our body, but it permeates. Think about water. When you drink water, especially when you're dehydrated, you can feel it in seconds. It just goes throughout your body. Water is in every part of your body, your brain, your muscles, your bones. I don't know what percentage, I didn't commit that to memory, but it's a very high percentage of our, somebody's flashing me, 92, 82, 72, 72% of our body is water. It's a high percentage. When we eat food, it's different. It doesn't permeate everything. It gets digested. Some gets rejected. Some gets rejected pretty fast, depending on what you're eating. But it's different. It doesn't permeate your entire body like water does. And that's the soul. Soul permeates our entire being. It's in our mind. It's in our conscience. And I'll try to define some of these terms here in a minute. So the human creative process is a lot by trial and error. When God created, it was done right the first time. But human beings don't have the capacity to do that. I've spent 30 plus years working in the sciences, and I can't think of one thing that was done right the first time. From design to practice, done right the first time. It just doesn't happen. We don't have the capability to see all the unintended consequences and predict everything that's going to happen. We don't have that ability. We learn by trial and error. And some of us more error than others. So I put up here some of the processes. I'm not going to go through in detail. But what I want to spend a little bit of time, just kind of fun here, is that when Adam named the animals, that was a scientific process. He had to look at them, dissect, understand, compare, contrast. This one's like this. And so, what would you say the one on, let's see, your left, what would you call that? Anybody? What? A blob? A what? Very close. Very close. They call it a leafy sea dragon. But see, you pulled on something you knew before. Very good. How about the middle one? Joseph's pet. So it kind of looks like a porcupine, doesn't it? The name is called Echidna. Echidna. The last one. What would you call that? A what? Steak? Oh, a mistake. A mistake, yeah. It looks like what? Two animals, right? A zebra and a donkey or a deer. It is called an okapaya. So you can see that the act of dissecting and understanding takes some searching, some thinking. So why do babies put everything in their mouth? Have you observed this?
Yes.
Everything goes to the mouth. Dad's thumb gets bit. Seems like harder than mom's thumb. So this is the beginning of learning, trial and error. They are learning the scientific process of trial and error. That didn't taste good. I'll go on to the next thing. So, one thing that has always intrigued me is how complex the world is. And yet, generally, it works in harmony. When man gets out of the way, the world works in perfect harmony. Our bodies work in harmony. I pollute it more than I should. But God designed complexity with harmony. We're not blah. His creation isn't simple. It is complex, but it works together. What holds all that together? How can everything work so seamlessly? Complexity with harmony. We can kind of see that diversity with unity. Many parts but one, three but one, two became one. We've heard this before, haven't we? That with the complexity, there still can be unity. And that unity is achieved through the Spirit of God working in our souls. So we are God's masterpiece design. So why was Eve formed from flesh and Adam from dirt? God showed his awesome power in creating Adam from dust, from nothing. God showed his awesome design in creating woman from flesh. This was really a prototype for all how all creation happens after that, inside the womb. It is by design, power and love are all cast in together in the womb. God saw that it was not suitable. There was no suitable helper for God or for man when Adam named all the animals. There was no suitable helper because no one else had a soul. Each one of us are uniquely different, yet capable of being one, connected through our soul. Some human attributes that we don't see in other creative beings is language, creativity, abstract thinking, ability to discern, free will, choice, awareness of self, faith, hope, love. All are characters capable of producing the spiritual fruits that we talked about. And in our being, we have this innate desire to worship. And that comes from our soul. So one of the scenes in this movie was where Mitch delivered a calf. And having grown up on a farm, I know that within minutes, a calf can walk. Within minutes. Coming out of mama. That's not even close to what it takes human beings. Why? Why the difference? Why does it take so long? Well, I don't know all the physical reasons and biological reasons, but I know that we are created for relationships. We have a soul that needs to be nurtured, that needs to be developed. It takes time for that. Searching takes time, and that's what children are doing. They're searching. So what happened at the fall? How does this impact our soul? Well, the two main points I want to make here is that Adam and Eve walked with God, and God was there available for them. Eve was searching for wisdom, but she was not searching for wisdom from God's Spirit. And in this, I would ask the question, before Adam and Eve, they both ate of the forbidden fruit, the fruit that gives them knowledge of good and evil, did they sin before they knew good and evil? Did they sin before they knew the difference between good and evil? That is, they ate the forbidden fruit, which was a command. So we can say, okay, yep, you cross that line, that's a sin. But did they sin? So let me ask it another way. If we do not have God in our soul, if we do not have God's Spirit in our soul, are we pleasing to God? And I would say no. So as we search, it's never black or white, 100% God in there, 100% human spirit. Part of the searching is to replace what isn't God in our soul with God. That is part of the process, is to replace what isn't of God with God. I'm not going to go through the whole temptation story due to time. God's response to sin has always been, you have free will. God never took free will away from Adam and Eve. It is pleasing to God when, among all choices that we have, we choose God. There's so many things that we can do. There's so many spirits that can fill our soul. But if we choose God, that is pleasing. That's what God wants. He wants us to choose Him among all the choices. God's self-declaration of His attributes, Lord, Lord, a compassionate and merciful God, slow to anger, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. Iniquity, things we plan out, rebellion against power, authority. Yes, you told me not to do it, but I'm going to do it. Sin, things we just do out of carelessness, not being compassionate or considerate. God abounds in loving mercy. For thousands of generations, He maintains this. For thousands of generations. Yet, He does not let the guilty go unpunished. He will bring the iniquity of the fathers on the children, grandchildren, to third and fourth generation. The point here is that God's mercy and love is huge. Thousands of generations. The consequences that we bring upon ourselves are relatively short. God's love is great. Consequences of sin is relatively short on this earth. So in searching for purpose, we have an eternal soul. God says we're a holy temple. We've talked about this in free will. So the main point I want to make here is about the soul. The soul, the form of the soul is spirit. The function of the soul is to produce hope, faith, character, conscience, consciousness, and spiritual energy. And I want to talk about that in just a second. So, science would define consciousness as the brain or simultaneously with the mind. That's when I read about consciousness, they would say that's the mind and it's different from brain. What we are learning, or what science is learning, is that take, for example, sight. there's different parts in your brain that look at color and define that. Then another part looks at the angles, the speed at which people are going, all kinds of different things that are part of vision that are done in separate parts of the brain. And it requires all of that to come together very quickly. We can measure the speed at which the neural receptors and transmitters function. That's measurable. And what they're finding is that speed is not fast enough to explain how we perceive things. So the electrical energy, the electrical circuits that are happening in the brain are not fast enough to support what is observed with vision. What else is doing this? It's our soul. There's spiritual energy that's in each of us. And if you've watched somebody die, I watched my father die, take his last breath. You see this. You see. There is something very unique about human beings and how the spirit permeates and penetrates all of us. So one of the scenes here is the gruff and rough guy, and I think about David, and how can a lion, bear killing, giant slaying, adulterous murder be a man after God's own heart? It's because he wrestled with God. David, it's recorded in the Bible that he communicated with God more than any other character. And maybe others did. It's just not recorded. But the point is that David sought God continuously. Continuously. So this is it. I want to read these three verses and then we'll be done. So God created man in his image and in his likeness. God created him male and female. He created them. For God's work, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance as our way of life. As a prisoner in the Lord, then I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, with diligence to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So in soul searching, there's some components. There's the will. We have to invite God in. We have to choose. There's the wrestling and the walk. These are things that we must do, and God will respond. With that, the message is yours. And Lauren, if you would lead us in a song.